Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
So God is a good God. He is a wonderful and an awesome God. And wow, I don't know where to start. I can tell you, I called Sandra on the phone. I used to have a worship time at my house, but now I go to Target and I worship in my car. And I want to tell you that I have had God encounters, but in the last 6 weeks in particular, in less than 6 weeks, I've had two times where God has encountered me, and one of them was at about 5 o'clock this morning. And I had to hear some very hard news a couple days ago and weighed heavily on me, continues to weigh heavily on me. But how many of you know that in a crisis, Christ is there and he can speak? He can speak. And at about 5 o'clock this morning, God just stepped into my room and said, raise your hands. I was just still sleeping. He said, raise your hands. I want to touch your hands. I want to touch your hands. I want you to hold your hands up. And I literally, as soon as I lifted my hands, I could feel the touch of his nail-scarred hands. I could feel him. And he said, grab hold of my hands. Hold on my hands. I want your hands and I want your mouth. I want your hands and I want your mouth. And I said, it's yours, whatever you want. Take it, take it, take it. And I could feel the presence of the Lord in a way I never have before. And when I got in my car today, and I have to tell you that I'm going to say this prophetically, but I'm going to tell you very soon I'm going to have a night here that's a revival night. And all we're going to do is worship to revival songs. And I've invited people already, not even having a date yet. But I want to tell you that God said, I want to birth a revival, and I want to use you to do that. So I'm laying groundwork for that with the help of the Lord. And I just want to tell you that God spoke in so many clear ways to me. One time, many months ago, I told God, and you know, God and I are on such a new page now, I can't even explain it. And I've tried to before that I don't talk to God like, oh, holy God, anymore. We talk like friends now. And I'm truthful with God. I'm honest with God because he can take it. And one of the complaints I always had, to not about God, but to God, is no one ever stood up for me. And this morning, it's so interesting how God will just randomly answer your questions. And God spoke to me and he said, you're correct. No one stood up for you, but I did something better. I was lifted up for you. And it was so powerful when God just started speaking and speaking and speaking as I lay there with my hands in the air for I don't know how long. And then when I got in my car, just the Spirit of God, and I called Sandra, and just the presence of God was just in the car as if the Holy Spirit was in there with me. And just, it was amazing. I always call Pastor Ken and Sandra because they're on the same page. And I'm just excited about the things of God. I'm excited about revival that's coming here, to this house. Like I posted this weekend to all my social media, Holy Spirit, you are invited. You are invited here. We want you to come here. I don't have to invite people to church. All I have to do is invite him and his presence. But tonight we're continuing on Holy Moses week 11. And last week we talked by way of review how the Israelites saw God do a supernatural miracle at the Red Sea. They had been brought out of Egypt by God. He performed great signs and wonders. Here they are 3 days later, and they could not find drinkable water, so they complained against Moses. So, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. It's kind of cool. The Lord showed Moses a tree. We know the tree represents a cross. He threw it in the bitter waters. And the waters became sweet and drinkable. And boy, are we going to talk about the sweet and drinkable tonight. I want to tell you, I never knew that before until I studied last week. I want to again say that the translation of the bitter waters means undrinkable or unsuitable for consumption. It actually means poison waters. So I want to say that bitterness will poison your soul. But Exodus 15 says something while we get into this. It was the first time we were introduced to the Lord who said, he's introducing himself now as, I am the Lord your healer. And he says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, if you will do what's right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which came upon the Egyptians. The translation is incorrect. It says, I put upon the Egyptians that came upon, let's translate it outright, that came upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. This was the first time God called himself the Lord your healer. It would not be good enough if he said, I am the Lord who heals. It has to be your healer. This is very, very personal. And here's the thing. Healing is not just something I do. It's who I am. It's not something I do. It's who I am. But the most interesting thing I found in this in this little verse, Exodus 15:26, is that God is saying, if you will just... We don't like to think that we have a part to play in receiving our healing. Not that healing isn't available or salvation, but we must receive those things. And to receive them, obedience is the key. So if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, do what's right, keep his commandments, give ear. It is not a coincidence that God tells them that they are required to obey him, okay, to be free from disease and to not suffer disease. Obedience is important in receiving our healing. Again, I want to repeat something. God's blessings and promises are available to us. They are not automatic to us. Let me say that again. They are available to us. They are not automatic to us. God, let me say this with strength. God does not promise to bless unrighteousness. Nowhere in his word does he say, I will bless unrighteousness. Now, let me make a point. Now, let me ask you a minute, why do you believe that God has not promised to bless the unrighteous? I mean, wouldn't it make sense that if he would bless the unrighteous and load them up with blessings and heal them and take care of them, that they would love God then? No. All they would love are the blessings of God and the healing and the money and all the things that God could give them. If God did that for the unrighteous, they would not love him. They would love what he did for them. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to love him. The second thing is, it would also mean that God honors those who are disobedient and unrighteous. In other words, he endorses their unrighteousness. Here, your unrighteousness, you're not living for God. You're living in complete sin. Let me bless you. That's an endorsement of good job. And that's not our God. So another interesting highlight of last week's was the fact that God had told Israel that there would be one final plague and then Pharaoh would let him go and the firstborn son. And you know that God told him to kill the lamb for every family, take the blood of the lamb, apply the blood to the doorpost of their home, then go inside the houses. But there was something that I had not, honestly, I've read this 10 billion times and I had not truly noticed that there was a clause in there that said no one, after that blood was applied, should go out of the house until morning. Now, this speaks to once saved, always saved. You can get yourself out from under the blood. If the person went out of the house that night where the blood was applied, the destroyer would have destroyed them. If we walk away from the blood covenant and we dishonor the cross and the blood, we will be suffer for that and destroy it. It's critical to understand this because there are people who preach a message of sloppy grace, that just anything goes, that God will literally put up with anything. He will forgive anything if we have a repentant heart and come to him. But God is not going to bless unrighteousness. So here we are in the desert. Israel further complained they had no bread and they had no meat in Egypt. And how did God handle this situation? I said, I would have told them, you're complaining, you're griping, so you don't get no meat. You don't get no bread. But God is a gracious God, and I'm not God, and you're not God, and these were God's people, and God understood this was a very reasonable thing to ask for. Should we complain against God and Moses? No. Can we ask for it? Yes. Still, God understood the heart of the matter, and he gave them, as I said, their biscuits and chicken. He gave it to them. So he's a good God. That's why he's God and we're not. And so here we once again see them that they are without water, and they're in the wilderness. Now, I want to say something to us. We all have dry times in our life, don't we? When we're going through a wilderness, it seems like, and we can have that temptation to become bitter. The devil can tempt us and, you know, that something is wrong. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. But we should not fall to temptation. And again, I remind you, temptation is something the enemy does to get you to fail. God will never tempt you. He doesn't want you to fail. But God will test you. Teachers often give a test, not hoping for you to fail, but trusting that you have learned a lesson that they have taught and that you will stay faithful and pass the lesson. But the reason here they are again without water in the desert is they did not pass the test the first two times. So here we are in chapter 17. We are in a dry place. We're still in the wilderness, and they are demanding that Moses give them drink. Now, the last I checked, Moses is not the source. He's not a well. He doesn't have some secret source of bottles of water in the back room to give them. And so here's the thing that I took note of that. When they are demanding water from Moses, how many times do we look to a man to satisfy our need? How many times do we look to a man, you know, I hunger and I thirst and I need this. But remember the woman at the well in John 4, Jesus tells her that he can give her living water. We should be looking to Jesus to satisfy the needs of our life. So Moses tells God that the people are ready to stone him, and I say to that, and what else is new? And they're mad at Moses, and what else is new? So why do they become angry at Moses? Because they're looking to him as their source and not to God. So God tells Moses, go on before the people, take the elders of Israel and your rod. Now remember, the rod represents the cross. The same rod that Moses held up that parted the Red Sea, it represents the cross. So he tells him now, get that same rod. Now I ask you a question tonight. Does the rod have magic power? No. It's the cross of Christ, what it represents, that Christ would one day be crucified on an old rugged cross. And Moses said, and I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, God said, and there shall come water out of it so that the people may drink. And Moses did this in sight of the elders of Israel. I want to take a note and give you a little bit of teaching tonight. When you read Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai, they are the exact same mountain. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is Mount Horeb. But what the Bible calls this mountain is the mountain of the Lord. And I love that because God actually would go up to that mountain. He had a preference for that mountain. The name of Horeb and Sinai means glowing white hot. And this mountain, Moses climbed to receive the Ten Commandments. We know two times. We had to get those tablets two times. There was an incident that we'll talk about. And many other times, Moses and Aaron met with God on the mountain of the Lord. This mountain God loved, this burning mountain. So Moses strikes the rock, and the rock represents Jesus. Jesus is our rock. And the rod is the cross. Jesus took the punishment when he was beaten, and he was struck. So the rock was hit, and living water flowed out of the rock. Now, when I tell you living water flowed out of the rock, I'm not telling you just enough to fill some buckets and drink. There was water everywhere, water in the valley. They had to make ways for the water. I can't give you all the history on it right now. There's not time. But trust me, there was water flowing everywhere. The water, 12 different directions representing water for the 12 tribes of Egypt, which is all the world. That's how much water. That's how much water is in the rock of our Jesus, enough for everybody forever. He's the living water. So I want to talk about another little well-known fact. When the people said that they were thirsty and had not, what they said that the waters were bitter, let's talk about the fact that there was not exactly zero water, but there was actually, like I said, bitter or poison and undrinkable water. So when we partake of the things of the world that try to satisfy our longings, all we get is bitter water, and we are poisoned. So I ask you tonight, what well are you drinking from? The well of the world or the Word? Which well are you drinking from? But I want to read to you something in Deuteronomy, and this is a song of Moses, and I love this. It's found in Deuteronomy 32. It's a song of Moses, a poem of Moses, whatever you want to call it, but most theologians call it a song that he wrote. He found him in a desert land, and everywhere you see him, put your, that's us. He found him in a desert land, that was us, in a dry place. And in the wasteland, there was nothing there, a howling wilderness. He circled him, he surrounded him, he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. All these years, God has kept us for himself. As an eagle stirs up in its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, we are safe with God. So the Lord alone led him, God leads us, and there was no foreign God with him. No idols did he worship. He made him ride in the heights of the earth. He lifts us to soar above the clouds, that he might eat, that we might eat the produce of the fields as he provides for us. He made him draw honey from the rock. All that is good and right and sweet comes from the rock. Jesus is my sweet rock. And oil from the flinty rock. I want to tell you something. When God had him strike the rock, remember they called them bitter waters, poison waters. The waters flowed forth and there was honey and oil in the rock. They had the sweetest water you could ever drink. There was honey in the rock. I had never seen that before. And that's the kind of thirst Jesus gives us. Sustaining water. And Sandra has the song by Brooke Liggerfelt at the end of the service here. Exodus 17:8 says, and we're continuing on, after this incident, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out, men, and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with, remember I told you that the rod represents the cross. This here is about to be the first time that God, that it is acknowledged as the rod of God. This is the cross of Christ. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. I want to talk about a couple of things here in 8 to 9. First, this is the first time we're being introduced to a man named Joshua. Joshua means Yeshua. It means Jesus, my salvation. And we see that Joshua is going to choose men to go fight the enemy. Jesus has chosen us, our Joshua, and we're to fight the enemy. But something that hit me, that really hit me, Moses said, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Let me say this again. The top of the hill. The top of the hill. The hill, Jesus was crucified at the top of the hill, and the rod was in his hand as he climbed the mountain to be crucified. And this rod always represents the cross, the rod of God. This was not the rod of Moses, as you might suppose. This was the rod of God. Who called it that? Moses acknowledged it. This is the rod of God. And the only way to fight the enemy is to uphold the rod of God, the cross. The only way to win, I should say. But who are the Amalekites and why were they against Israel? You need to know that. And why did God have an issue with the Amalekites? First, they were enemies of Israel, so that makes them enemies of God. But I want to tell you that the name Amalek actually means sorrow, to take away from. Amalek was always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Does that sound familiar? The Amalekites actually descended, I'm going to read it to you. You probably don't read the genealogies on the regular, as neither do I, just a confession here. I have to always look it up. The Amalekites actually descended from a man named Amalek. Does anyone know who Amalek is? There's a prize for this. Amalek? Close. Amalek is the grandson of Esau. He is Esau's grandson. And these are the Israelites here. So these are descendants of Esau. Of course, there was bad blood there. They were against God's people, therefore, against God. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill, which we talked about yesterday. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek started winning the battle. But we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Moses' hands got very heavy, but they got heavy for a reason. He had the rod of God in his hands, and it was heavy. The cross of Christ was heavy for him. And as we carry the cross of Christ daily, it's good to have people together with us who help us and encourage us to continue to carry the cross and to help lift our hands up as we lift up the cross. And I picture us when we're praising God in this church and we're lifting our hands to God, I picture the cross in our hands, lifting it up. When you lift up your hands the next time and you're praising God, picture the lifting up the cross for all the world to see. And, you know, we're told that they put a stone under Moses so he could sit and they helped hold up his hands. But the Bible says something else. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. At first, I was going to pass over this, and then I just began to be so touched by it. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, stay steady carrying the cross. Stay steady. Let your hands be steady in praise until the sun goes down, until your time in life has ended. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Stay steady all day long. Honor the cross. And this is what they did. And the Amalekites were defeated. Sandra, you can get ready to play our song. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. I love that. When God does stuff, when God brings honey out of the rock, from where was poison, and your poison situation has turned sweet, write it down. Put it in a memory book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. And I asked myself, why Joshua? Why not? You know why? Keep talking to Joshua about it because he's next in line for leadership here. Already we are introduced to him. He's a warrior, but he's on God's side. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And Jehovah Nissi means God is my flag. God is a flag over me. God is a banner over me. And I believe that that comes from us lifting up the cross. Sandra, do you have our song? She's going to play the song Honey in the Rock because now it means more than it ever did before. I used to hear that and think, what on earth does that mean that there's honey in a rock? I knew that water came forth out of the rock, but I did not know until I read in the Bible that it was honey that also came, that water was sweet, sweet, sweet with honey. And I didn't know that it had oil in it, that it was very palatable and it was easy going down. God knows what he's doing. And you know that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. When we drink the living water, we're drinking the sweetness of Jesus into our lives and we're drinking of the Holy Spirit, living water, and that's what we need.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.